Welcome in, 9 o'clock, Jam of the Buckeye Boy. Intern Peyton in today as well. It is a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Peyton, you're not eligible because, well, you work here. Also, you're not 21 yet, are you? Or are you 21?
I am actually turning 22 this upcoming April.
See, yeah. I'm thinking that you're younger than you are. Anything? So, either way, you can't win the wine because, well,
you technically work here.
So, anything you got to complain about today? Back at school, right?
Yeah, so. Back at school. I mean, I'm not complaining too much about that. It's just, it's another semester. But something I did want to whine about is maybe about a week ago was how, they finished one spot of construction and they start somewhere else, like right after, like here in Grand Junction. Because, with all everything that was going on around First and Grand, that was just terrible, especially being a delivery driver at night. Having to go out to the Redlands was a trip. And then I was late for work last week at some point because they were working on North, and I had no idea, so I was late for work. And it's just like they're always working on something. Always working on something. That's just how I feel. That's something to whine about.
Word to the wise living and driving here, if it's a street you use a lot and it's a popular street, there's going to be construction.
Yeah, okay.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
There's going to be work. Patterson, North Avenue, Business Loop, they're going to be tearing it up.
Yeah. At least
First and Grand's done. At least that's done.
Yeah.
And the first one I looked at, I'm going, what's the big difference here? And now I've been through it a few times. Like, okay, down First Street, I can see. I'm no traffic engineer, obviously. I do this. Because if I had any real intelligence and skill, I would be doing something like that. And at first I'm going, I don't see what the big deal is here. Why did we do all this? And it's like, okay, now I kind of see why they did some of what they did. Yeah. Get a little funky street over there by Roosters and some of that. Yeah. All right, so we're into the 9 o'clock hour. It is a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Chance to win a bottle of Talon Wine today. Love their Riesling, by the way. Talon Wine, their Riesling's amazing. So, if you got something you want to complain about today, can be sports, doesn't have to be sports, text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
All right. If you're a CSU basketball fan, you have really nothing to cry about these days. The Rams playing last night against Nevada. They get a big win last night. Time to talk CSU Rams basketball.
Talking CSU with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth, on the Jim Davis Show.
And with us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, the voice of the Rams had the call on last night's win against Nevada. Brian Roth joins us. Good morning, Brian.
Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. The Rams are doing fantastic. Great win last night over the Nevada Wolfpack, 77-66 last night. Rams at one point down by 10 in that game, but come back to get the victory last night. Now a program best 16-1 with that 50-point explosion in the second half. Great win in front of the packed house at Moby last night.
Yeah, indeed it was. And, I just heard you say not a lot to complain about for Ram basketball fans. It's interesting. My 6-year-old this morning, they were watching the game last night, and she goes, "Dad, did they end up winning?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "They were down big in the first half." I go, I know. She goes, "They're always down in the first half." I'm like, "Yeah, that's right." She goes, "Yeah, they're not very good in the first half." And like, was complaining about it. Like, what's? I was like, "Sweetheart, they're 16-1. It doesn't matter if you're down in the first half. It's about being up at the end of the game and winning." So this is kind of funny. It's like, what are we complaining about here?
your daughter, one of the Roth Ruthians, make an interesting point, but she does realize basketball, there's two halves, right? She does. I mean, her dad being a sportscaster, it's a game of runs. There's a first half and a second half, and so it's what you do in the second half, right, that ultimately decides a lot of things. But a wise comment on her part that the Rams, they don't come out of the gate particularly strong in the first half.
That's right. The Rams are good, but not good enough in her eyes so far. They should win the first half and the second.
She demands excellence from her CSU Rams basketball team. Got to win both halves of the basketball game.
That's right. But, look, I, I don't know if I mentioned it to you last week, but yeah, it's pretty clear CSU is getting everybody's best shot. And, you know, I mean, CSU was one of the top teams in the league last year. But here this year, it just feels different because obviously the Rams are picked to win the conference and you've been nationally ranked. And you just look at the energy level that teams are bringing in here and the amount of passion that they're playing with. And that's exactly what Nevada brought in last night. And not that the Rams don't meet that, because they do. I mean, CSU was ready to play last night, but Nevada was really good and kind of started to take control of that game. And CSU just did not shoot the ball well in the first half. And we all know, not only is basketball a game of runs, I mean, basketball is all about putting the ball in the hoop. And sometimes shots just don't fall. Rams shot 33% in the first half. They were just 4 of 16 from deep. And, of course, we all know the Rams are a very good three-point shooting team. And, you know, you go into halftime down 34-27, and I felt pretty good. We talked about it on our radio broadcast at halftime, saying, look, Rams are going to be fine here. They've just got to start making shots. You got to start getting buckets. And, you know, it's a Nevada team that's highly skilled. They're really, really talented. They're all Division I transfers. I mean, they got rosters littered with guys from across the nation that started their college careers at other places. But they're not a very good defensive team. I mean, they're an offensive team, give me the ball, let me score type of outfit. And so CSU had just 27 points in the first half. And you just thought to yourself, hey, there's no way Nevada sustains that. There's no way CSU shoots 33% in the second half. And, you know, lo and behold, CSU comes out and they score 50 in the second half, and they're able to pull away down the stretch.
Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, the number 22 team in the nation right now, joining us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And look, they came out of halftime with their pants on fire. I mean, they came out playing great. It was that 12-5 run of the first 3 minutes, got the game tied up. And then I thought probably a real pivotal stretch was in the second half, Brian, where the defense stepped to the forefront. They held Nevada scoreless for over 5 minutes, and then it took over with that 12-0 run. Their defense really helped them grab the lead and finish off the win last night.
Yeah, you know, just as Nevada's not a very good defensive team, CSU is a decent defensive team. Obviously, you know, the Rams can score as well as anybody. They're the highest scoring team in the Mountain West Conference. But, and the Rams only give up 66 points per game, which is a pretty good number. And, you know, the defense really did take over. And I thought Nevada might have wore down. They started settling for more contested shots. They got a little impatient. All of a sudden, it got to a 3 and then a 4-point game. Then it got to a 6-point game, you know, because it was tied up with 6 minutes to go at 63 apiece. Then it got to 69-63, and I think Nevada could kind of feel it slipping away, and then really thought they started just forcing shots. And, you know, credit the Rams making Nevada force shots and getting the Wolfpack into that kind of panic-type mindset. But you're right, Jim, and the defense was great. And, you know, I mean, again, 63-63 with 6 minutes to go, and the Rams closed out the game. They went on a 12-0 run. It was a 14-3 run overall to close out the game. And, you know, that's what good basketball teams do. And, you know, you're not hitting shots in the first half. You come out in the second half, and, you know, that was a back-and-forth game, 8 lead changes in the second half. But to be able to close like the Rams did, and we've seen CSU, they have the ability to close games out and put folks to bed. And that's what they did last night with Nevada.
The voice of the Colorado State Rams, Brian Roth, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. David Roddy, really good game, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, a couple of steals. Isaiah Stevens chipped in with 16 points and 5 rebounds. And you needed guys like Kendley Moore to step up. He had 9 points because you had third leading scorer John Tonji out. Adam Thistlewood was also out as well. So a couple of big pieces missing last night for Nico Medved, and others helped to step in and fill that void.
Yeah, it's a good thing the Rams are deep, right? I mean, you know, the Rams have not been really bitten by the injury bug yet here this year, but all of a sudden in the past week they have been. And as we've talked about on the show, the Rams do roll 10 deep, a legit 10 deep. Not that, oh, sometimes they can play 10 guys in case there's foul trouble, but no, a rotation that is 10 deep. And, you know, there's some teams out there that can roll that, but not a lot. Not 10 with full confidence in everybody you're putting out there. And so, you know, Adam Thistlewood didn't play in the win against Air Force on Saturday. Of course, Adam's been a 3-year starter for Colorado State and not shooting the ball well this year, but one of the top 3-point shooters in the Mountain West Conference over the last 3.5 years. So he didn't play again last night. And then John Tanjay, a knee issue, didn't play last night. And, you know, Tanjay started off the season by, you know, lighting up Oral Roberts for 31. He's the third leading scorer for CSU. And all of a sudden, you miss him. So the Rams, you know, they're rolling eight deep. And but all those guys, it's not like anybody in that eight was all of a sudden to ask to play a lot of meaningful minutes that they hadn't played earlier in the season, right? And so the depth, I think, really shined through last night in the fact, okay, you have a starter out and your sixth man out, who happens to be your third inning scorer, that's okay. Nobody's really going into new roles. You just play without them, and you still are going with the eight players, all of whom have a lot of game experience. And then, of course, you do have David Roddy still. You do have Isaiah Stevens still, and those two guys were really, really good, especially in the second half.
Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So for the Rams coming up, it's the matchup at home at Moby this Friday with UNLV, and you look at the standings right now in the Mountain West. They're in the bottom half of the conference, 3-4, 11-9 overall. And so far for UNLV, Bryce Hamilton, he's been their standout, almost 20 points per game. Donovan Williams at just under 14 points per game. So those are the two running Rebs that create the most problems for other basketball teams.
You know, it's interesting. UNLV, that's a program that just hasn't been able to get over the hump. And, of course, growing up, when I grew up, I still think of UNLV with those Jerry Tarkanian teams in the early 90s, right? And they used to just dominate with Larry Johnson and all those guys. We've seen UNLV be okay over the last 10, 15 years, but that job as a coaching job has been a revolving door. They have Kevin Kruger now in there as the head coach. Kevin was a former player there, played for his dad, Lon Kruger, who, of course, you know, was a great college basketball coach. And they have gone the Division I transfer route as well, for the most part. And it seems like, Jim, that their lineup turns over every single year, whether it be a coach that's leaving or, you know, you get a lot of transfers in, get a lot of transfers out of UNLV. But there's been one consistent for UNLV, and you mentioned him, Bryce Hamilton. He's a guy who came there off the bat, and he is a big-time athlete and a big-time scorer. He's a guy that certainly is going to have the ability to play in the NBA. He's just that type of kid, 6'5", supremely athletic, and can score at all three levels. I mean, he is one of the best guys when he puts the ball on the hardwood that the Mountain West Conference has. So, you know, it's a UNLV team that, you know, they have struggled on the road, as they have seemingly in the last decade. When stuff goes wrong on the road, they seem to fold. It's just the way that they've been. But having said that, when things are going well for UNLV, they are really hard to beat. So it'll be an interesting situation on Friday night. But, you know, the Rams' game plan would be jump out on those guys, hold Bryce Hamilton down as much as you can, and you should be able to come away with the win. I expect CSU to, you know, be a double-digit favorite going into the game on Friday night.
Rams voice Brian Roth with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And then on Monday, it's border war on the hardwood. You head to Laramie, take on the Wyoming Cowboys. They lost to Boise last night, which leads the league 7-0 for the Boise State Broncos. Rams at 6-1, and now Wyoming 4-1, 15-3 overall after the loss. And so that's a big matchup coming up on Monday up in Laramie. Graham Ike has been great for them. Flip that around. Been averaging about almost 21 points per game. And then Hunter Maldonado, Colorado Springs kid, who has developed into a really nice player for the Cowboys at almost 18 points per game. Those two have led the way so far this season.
Wyoming has been the big surprise this year. And I don't think anybody thought that the Cowboys would be where they are. You mentioned they lost at Boise State last night. It was the first loss in conference play for Wyoming. They're 4-1, 15-3 overall. The other two losses were a loss to Stanford on a neutral court, which they didn't feel like they should have lost. And then they lost at Arizona. And, of course, we all know Arizona is a top-five team. But, you know, listen, Wyoming lost the freshman of the year last year, Marcus Williams, who was going to be an all-conference kid this year. He transferred to Texas A&M. And you thought to yourself, whoa, you know, that hurts. A second-year head coach in Jeff Linder that's trying to build up that program Well, it was really addition by subtraction because, you know, he was a shoot-first point guard, was Williams. And so he goes to Texas A&M, and then it just seems like everything has just come together for Wyoming. And the chemistry seems better. The offensive flow seems better. And, you know, they're doing it with Colorado kids, which is a big deal for them up there, especially when they play, you know, CSU. You mentioned Hunter Maldonado. He's been a terrific player out of Colorado Springs. And 6'7" guy that can run the point. He can post up. He can shoot the three. Does it all. And then Graham Ek, 6'9" post player. I mean, Ek leading the league in scoring, second in rebounding. He's in the running for Conference Player of the Year. He was a really under-recruited kid coming out of Overland High School in Aurora. Had some injury issues in high school, and I think it scared some folks off. Well, Wyoming gets him. He's fully healthy. And, you know, he's really, really good at 6'9" in the middle. So Wyoming's been an interesting story, a fun story. They're certainly a Mountain West Conference title contender as we sit here on, you know, whatever the date is. What is the date? January 26th?
The 26th, so, yes.
26th. So, I mean, this is a Wyoming team that has as good of a shot as CSU, as Boise State, as San Diego State to win the conference. So it'll be really fun to see those two teams match up. My only question to Craig Thompson of the Mountain West Conference, why are you putting Colorado State and Wyoming, a rivalry that spans decades upon decades, on a Monday night?
That doesn't make sense.
I have no idea. They play later in the season on a Wednesday night, Jim. Come on.
Why on a Monday night? I mean, we'll be watching. You'll be there calling it, but I just like and listening. But why? Yeah, why on a Monday night? You would think with this rivalry, it would be, and as good as they both are right now, that's not a marquee day to have these two teams play against each other. Brian Roth, host of CSU Rams, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. My colleague or former colleague Curtis Beadleman, diehard Wyoming fan. Beadle says hi, by the way. I know you spent a while since you guys have. He describes Jeff Linder, one-time Mesa State College Maverick, one-time Maverick guard back. He played in 95-96, then he matriculated up in Gunnison at Western. It's the battle between Nico Medved and Jeff Linder of the angry little men. That's worse when you're Beetle and you're
angry
like
angry little Med.
When you're like 6'6", everybody's little. I mean, I'm 6'4", and he views me as little. So we'll put it that. That's what he called the angry little men. Is Nico an angry guy? He doesn't seem like an angry guy. And I don't like to challenge anybody or question anybody on their height. I mean, come on, that's just inappropriate on the part of Curtis Beadleman. He thinks there are a couple of very emotional guys, a couple of very emotional coaches.
Well, sure. You know, Nico Medved's as genial as it gets. I mean, he is as good of a head coach as I've ever worked with in my 20 years, you know, covering Division I college athletics. He's phenomenal. But, you know, Jeff Linder's a Colorado guy. So he grew up in Lafayette. He went to Centaurus High School. Obviously, he had spent some time in the RMAC and matriculated his way up to Grand Junction. And he was a longtime Boise State assistant, then came over to UNC. And I was doing a bunch of TV games for Comcast a few years back when we were doing Big Sky packages. And so Jeff Linder was the head coach at UNC for a handful of years. And so I got to know Jeff pretty well. And when Larry Eustace got fired from CSU, I really thought CSU should look at Linder and hire Linder. Now, I'm happy they hired Nico Medved, obviously the job he's done and whatnot. And I thought that was a good hire as well. But I thought they should look at Jeff Linder, too, because it was clear to me he was going to be a bright, bright head coach at the Division I level and did a great job at UNC. And now, in year number two, rebuilding a Wyoming program that was awful the last couple of years, and here he is, year two, and he has them competing for a Mountain West Conference championship. So two really, really good coaches. Yeah, both of them are about 5'10". But fortunately for them, it doesn't matter how tall you are when you're a coach. It matters how good you are. And certainly those two dudes can do it at a high level.
Absolutely. And once again, his words, Brian, not mine. So if this gets back to Jeff Linder, if it gets to Nico Medved, I didn't say that. Curtis Beadleman did. And
well, let me say this. I'd rather them be a little angry and animated than just completely passive and a dead fish on the sideline. So
totally agree with you on that. Yes. And today, Beadle and I record our Davis and Beadle podcast, and I know we'll be talking about Monday's matchup between the Cowboys and the Rams for our podcast. You can get that at our website, theteam1340.com. All right, Brian, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, sounds good. See ya.
Right, Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams. Once again, his words, not mine, in describing those two coaches, which I found to be unnecessary to mention they were short, angry coaches. Now, Warren, you're speaking to their emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really that angry all the time? Do they have something to be upset about? Bad call?
It's Beadle, though.
Illegal screen that should have been called, whatever. Yeah. Sure, okay, fine. They're upset about it. That's part of the job. But to talk about they're 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
Even if they were 5'1", should that matter?
And, well, before now, we move on, though, let's drop a late Sky Judge BS penalty flag on the "I don't like to knock people about their height" from one Jim Davis. So, somebody who spent a good almost 6 weeks on the fat heads on the wall out there, because we're close to being the same height. So let's put that out there first.
That's different. That's totally different. It's not the same thing. No, that is not an accurate portrayal, representation of our physical size.
Should it matter, though? You just questioned. Should it matter?
I'm not questioning or demeaning your height. I'm just saying it's not an accurate portrayal of me,
mm-hmm,
and my height. Or is it of you?
In defense of your own height,
that is different than what Beadle said.
Attack mine.
Oh, and then you attack JJ all the time. So don't. So
I've never made a "I'm not going to attack people for their height." I never say that because I know better. I know myself better than that.
Because you're about what, 5'2", 5'3"?
See, right there.
5'4"?
Woo-woo, hypocrite train coming down the tracks.
And you're the caboose riding along.
I've never made, not usually a hypocrite.
Just to say they're angry little men. He said they're angry little men. Is that fair? I don't think that's a fair thing to say.
If you lean on the angry,
yeah,
he's right. Because they're not little per se.
No, they're...
They're angry. They're college basketball coaches. They're 5'10". They're kind of all angry. At different points of the night.
All right, 9:23.
We used to see coaches doff their suit jackets and toss them around over at CMU at times. So basketball coaches tend to get angry.
Jim Heaps, if the jacket stayed on for 30 seconds, it was a miracle.
Yeah.
Jacket was gone, and it was off in 30 seconds.
Made it to the first media timeout. And the jacket's still on. You write that down.
Right. That'd be a really great drinking game back in the day. Or some kind of game where Jim Heaps, former Mesa men's coach, how long will Jim Heaps keep the jacket on?
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be less than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
If it lasted more than 30 seconds, I'm not sure what, because good, bad, whatever, the jacket was off.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter where they could be down by four within the first 30 seconds, or up by four, jacket's off.
Don't even know why you bring it out.
It's like, why even wear the jacket?
Yeah. Just drape it across the chair.
All right, 9:24. Altitude Nuggets broadcaster Chris Dempsey joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text The Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line, 970-242-1340. It's Nuggets Talk with Altitude's Chris Dempsey on The Jim Davis Show on the team.
Right now on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, covers the Nuggets for Altitude, Chris Dempsey. Chris, how you doing, man?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing well. And look, I like what Michael Malone said last night. Okay, yeah, against the Pistons, they're, I don't like to use the term JV-ish, but they're definitely had a lot of injuries. The Cunningham kid was brilliant last night for them. But this is not a particularly good basketball team. But the Nuggets they had their struggles against the Pistons, playing them two of the last three nights. But when you have the MVP, you have Nikola Jokic, even if maybe things are not going exactly your way, you're not playing the best basketball, that guy is going to find a way to help you win, and he's done that in these last two games against the Pistons.
Yeah, he has. I mean, his line last night was major. I mean, you know, 28, 21 rebounds, 9 assists, another almost triple-double. I mean, he just is, he really is a real difference maker on the basketball court. There's just no doubt about that. And, you know, yesterday's game was so unique to me. I don't think that I've ever seen a team give up 38 points off of turnovers and still win that game. I don't have, you know, evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt that that's the highest points given up off of turnovers this season in any game in the NBA. But if it is not, I guarantee you it's in the top five. And for the Nuggets to be able to overcome that, to shoot 42% from the field, which is exactly what Detroit shot, to hit one less three-pointer, to be outscored by 12 points in the paint, and you still won this basketball game?
Yeah.
It was an amazing performance just from that standpoint, and Nikola Jokic was in the middle of that, obviously, with everything that he does production-wise. And then defensively, you had to be good enough to overcome those types of numbers, and they were.
Yeah, they played outstanding defense at the end of the game to get the win last night. And I want to go back to Nikola for a moment, because the numbers that were mentioned yesterday or after the game last night to Michael Malone, Nikola Jokic picked up his 3,000th NBA assist in the first quarter, only Nuggets player to have 5,000 rebounds and 3,000 assists. Also, he's the first player to reach those totals in fewer than 500 career games in his first 3 years. I mean, you think about who the Nuggets have had, Chris, over the course of their history. David Thompson, Dan Issel, so many amazing players. Alex English. I mean, let's go, the Fonz. I mean, so many great players that they've had, Kamei Mutombo, that when you think about it, those are some pretty staggering numbers, and it shows just how good this guy is and how special this guy is.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, there's a few things at work, I think. One is the player. The player is just that good. And Nikola Jokic, what he can do all over the basketball court is elite everywhere. And so that's kind of my next point, which is when you go back through, and this is a majority of players, I mean, you know, they specialize in a thing or maybe two things. And so maybe you're, you know, the highest scorer in franchise history, and maybe you're in the top 10 in some of the other categories as well. But what you were doing mostly was scoring. With Nikola Jokic, he does everything, all of these things to an elite level. And so when you're breaking records like this or setting records or you're the only player with X amount of numbers in these production categories, I mean, it speaks to not just being a specialist in one area, it speaks to being truly great in all the areas. And doing that to a consistent level every single night, that nobody else in your franchise history has done. And, then on top of that also, it definitely does also mean, reflect upon this type of NBA, which is a different kind of NBA. Because even when, it's interesting because we showed the highest game in NBA history, the highest scoring game in NBA history was the Nuggets and the Pistons way back in 1983. It was 186-184. I mean, just all the points are being scored everywhere. But when you look at the clips of those games, and just watch how the game was played, so many players from elbow to elbow and block to block. I mean, they just basically played off the elbows and the blocks on the court, and that's just no spacing. And think about what we see in today's NBA, just everybody's space, defense is stretched to the hilt. The onus on defense is to stop top-flight offensive players is as great as it's ever been. And Nikola Jokic is existing in this this era of basketball. And he's doing all of those other things. He's being elite in all these other areas while we are in an age of basketball where offense, if you're deadly offensively, you can probably not be stopped. And so all of these things are at work. Obviously, it begins with your talent, and Nikola Jokic has tons of that.
Altitude Nuggets broadcaster Chris Dempsey joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And some areas that the Nuggets have really improved upon recently, Chris, during this stretch. that in terms of fast break points on the season, they've been ranked around 14th, 12.5 fast break points per game. But recently, they're 7th in the league in that number. And also, their perimeter play has been much, much better. Take us through why you think those numbers have improved for the Nuggets over the last 7 to 10 games.
Well, I think the perimeter shooting numbers can just be immediately traced back to additions on the team. And they're starting to catch guys who are playing well right about now. So Zeke Nagy is one of those players who's knocking in a lot more shots more consistently from the three-point line. He'd pop in a game with Jeff Green. Has been really good from everywhere on the court, quite frankly, with him.
Really good last night, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he can knock in some three-point shots. You add Bryn Forbes to the equation, and he's been able to help in that area. And so I just think that you're starting to see some players elevate their games shooting-wise. Of Aaron Gordon, and I didn't even mention him, and his three-point shooting has been vastly improved this season. Over last season and certainly as of late, and he hit the game-winning three-pointer just a few games ago. So I think we're starting to see the Nuggets players start to pick it up from the three-point line. I think the addition, obviously, of Bryn Forbes is going to help continue that. And then if this is going to be the case, then it's just going to be a lot easier for them. Scoring the ball has been a lot much better for the Nuggets in the last week to 10 days or so, and they just put pretty major numbers up on the board, and I think that it begins there. And to your point about transition, I think it's one of the things that they really wanted to be better in transition. Now that doesn't necessarily equal always pace. Pace and transition are two different categories. But if you're getting the ball, and I think we see this more in the Nuggets this season than most other seasons, anybody who rebounds the basketball has license to bring it up. And if that is the case, and you don't have to stop and look for an outlet man, and now you got to get the pass to the outlet man, and while you're doing all of these things, the defense is now back and set. But if you can get the rebound and go, then you can keep your transition offense high. You can get into your regular offense much quicker, or you can catch the defense not being organized in their transition defense, and you can hit them up for layups and easy stuff or easy wide-open three-point shots while they are still trying to get organized in transition. And I think the Nuggets have been real conscious about trying to be better in that area overall this year, and I think we're starting to see them just really turn it up in that one area. But I think it really does begin with getting a stop, getting a rebound, and now anybody bring it up, get yourself a quick screen and see if you have a shot there, and if not, maybe get into your offense a lot more quickly and maybe catch this defense in some cross matches that you wouldn't have been able to before if you would have brought the ball up a lot more, a lot slower.
Chris Dempsey joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned Bryn Forbes, nice addition to the perimeter game. And then Boogie Cousins, DeMarcus Cousins, coming in to provide some additional support for Nikola Jokic on the interior. I know my colleague and I, Buckeye, you've talked. You've gone through the history of DeMarcus Cousins. And look, it's a resume that has moments of outstanding play and moments of not poor behavior, not great play. But I do think right now DeMarcus Cousins does bring rebounding and some interior scoring and helps take a little bit of the pressure off Nikola Jokic inside when he's on the floor.
He does, and he gives that second unit. But I think a lot of things about DeMarcus Cousins, because I think you're right with how you kind of view his career up to this point. So let me just back up before I get to the court. I think what we're starting to see, and I wasn't necessarily super dialed into this until I was doing sideline reporting on the first game that he played. It was against Detroit a couple of days ago, and then listening to him speak to the media afterwards. And what I saw in the huddles was a player that immediately was already talking to his teammates, giving them advice, telling them what he saw and how they might best be able to handle a certain situation just immediately in his first game. And then afterwards, I actually asked him about that. And he said something to the effect of, "Listen, I just want to help. I'm the second or third oldest player in the locker room now, and I've been through a lot. I've seen a lot. I just want to be able to on the court and off the court be able to help these guys." And so my point here is that I think what we're seeing in DeMarcus Cousins first and foremost is a player, a person who's in just a much better headspace than we have seen him in many times over the course of his career. And when you get in that better headspace, I think we saw this exact same thing with JaVale McGee last year too. And, you know, you come from a space where things might have been a little frivolous earlier in your career, and now you're older, you've matured, you've seen some things, you've gone through some adversities that have helped shape who you are right now, and now you've come out on the other side a lot more wise person. I think that is what the Nuggets are seeing with DeMarcus Cousins as well. And so if you're going to bring those things to the table, calm, wisdom, you know, a team mentality, those things, and now you get on the court and you're setting these just crushing screens, and to your point, also on the interior, you can throw it to him, and who's going to stand in his way? I mean, he's still such a physical player. He can help you in a number of ways, and I think, unlike JaVale McGee, they are more compelled to use DeMarcus Cousins in the offensive flow, and so you can get him downhill, collapse some defenses, that'll open up three-point shooters, or you just throw it to him, and you can very well expect that he's going to score on the interior or get fouled or both, you know, in trying to do so. So, you know, I would be pretty surprised if the Nuggets didn't, here in the next 10 days, whatever it is, sign him for the rest of the season because, you know, even though he's not shooting the ball well right now, I don't even – that's not a thing for me. I think he'll be fine ultimately there. What they've already been able to see, the impact that he's had and the flow of their offense, and then maybe even in the locker room, I think you marry that with a player that is still a talented player, can do a lot of things on the court, and why wouldn't you want that individual to help you down the stretch?
Chris Dempsey from Altitude joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Nuggets go to Brooklyn tonight. They continue the road trip to take on some dude named Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving. And Paul Millsap, one-time Nugget. Paul Millsap, part of the mix in Brooklyn as well. But Nets right now the third-best team in the Eastern Conference. So a star-studded lineup and a big matchup and a big challenge for the Nuggets on the road tonight, Chris.
It is. And fortunately for the Nuggets, and, you know, it says it's rescheduled. So you look at this road trip, and this was supposed to be two games and then three-day break and then three games on the road. And so what it originally was Detroit and then New Orleans. And then three-day break, and then you go, I think it's Milwaukee, Minnesota, and I can't remember the last game right now. But that's what it was originally scheduled to be. But then when this Brooklyn game was postponed earlier, late last year, and moved to this space, it made it all of a sudden a six-game road trip, and six games in 9 days, and two sets of back-to-backs. So it made the scheduling challenge a lot harder. But more so than that, when they were going to face the Brooklyn Nets before, Brooklyn was not going to have James Harden or Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving on the court for that game. And so it was a total opportunity for the Nuggets to just roll in there and then get a game against one of the actual best teams in the Eastern Conference, but they wouldn't have had any of their main guys. So you get it rescheduled to now, and actually they're almost going to get that same scenario. So there will be no Kevin Durant. And there will be no, obviously, Kyrie can't play home games.
Right.
James Harden will play, unless he doesn't want to play. Brooklyn did play last night and lost to the Lakers. James Harden had a triple-double in that game. So it still sets up as an opportunity for the Nuggets to get a win against a team in a weakened state. So can they do that? We'll see. You know, it's for some reason, it's not a place that they've had the greatest of times winning games over the course of the years, no matter what the Brooklyn Nets have looked like. But I think for them, you know, both teams on the second of a back-to-back, and, you know, I think the Nuggets have navigated their personnel losses much better than Brooklyn ever has this year. You know, Brooklyn has a good record, but they've had actually at least Kevin Durant and James Harden for the majority of the time, so that makes it a lot easier for them. But as soon as they started losing those guys and a couple of other good support players, it's just that they just haven't handled that as well as the Nuggets have been able to handle that. So can the Nuggets get two, you know, with a win back to, in the back-to-back game here tonight? We'll see. We'll see. It'll definitely be a tough challenge.
All right, 6 o'clock for that one tonight in Brooklyn, the Nuggets taking on the Nets. Chris, I always appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you guys.
All right, Chris Dempsey from Altitude. All right, so text or call us, 970-242-1340. Coming up, we'll talk with Colorado Mesa women's basketball coach Taylor Wagner. Maverick women falling to Black Hills State on Monday. They have Fort Lewis, Western Colorado this weekend, a big rivalry weekend for the Maverick basketball teams on the Team CMU Sports Network. Let's quickly get to a couple from this day in sports history. 1913, Jim Thorpe relinquishes his Olympic gold medals, won in 1912 after it's discovered he played professional baseball. 1960, the Oakland Raiders joined the AFL. 1960, Pete Rozelle, elected as a commissioner of the National Football League. 1985, Wayne Gretzky with the Oilers scores his 50th goal of the season in just 49 games. Also on this day, 1986, the Bears beat the Patriots 46-10 to win the Super Bowl. Chicago defensive end Richard Dent is named the game's MVP. 1997, the Packers beat the Patriots 35-21. Kick returner Desmond Howard is named the MVP after returning a kick for a touchdown. And where'd he go to school, Buckeye?
No one cares.
Okay. That school, what, up north, right? Isn't that the reference?
Mm-hmm.
From Ohio State fans. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Taylor Wagner, CMU women's coach, joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado sports leader, The Team. Talking Colorado Mesa women's hoops with Mavs coach Taylor Wagner on The Team.
And with us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, Taylor Wagner. Taylor, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. Sorry we didn't catch you yesterday. Understandable that you didn't join us yesterday since you had that long trip back from Spearfish after playing on Monday. So we're glad to have you on with us for a few minutes this morning.
You bet. Yeah, we pulled in at 7:30. So.
And you were getting
fell asleep.
You're catching some Z's, and I don't blame you. I'd be doing the same thing if I were you as well. Your basketball team with that makeup game on Monday, a rough weekend to go over to Front Range and then drive to Spearfish and play on Monday. 68-62, you lose to Black Hills State. And look, you lose Sophia Dodd during the game, but you also didn't have Sophie Anderson before the game and missed this past weekend. Bench a little bit shorthanded with those two players out and made it a difficult situation for your basketball team to, and foul trouble also played a role in that as well. Made it tough to get that win at Black Hills State on Monday.
Yeah, and even Savannah Domgaard was out too. I mean, she hasn't played yet since the break. So two starters and, you know, one of our top reserves weren't able to play. But we had a chance. We were right in the game and, you know, we had two turnovers in the last minute and had a chance to win. So, we put ourselves in a good position up there. We just didn't finish it out like we should have.
Mariah Martin played played her heart out in that game. She played the entire game, ended up with 26 points, 8 of 18 from the field. Danny Turner had 15 points. Kelsey Siemens led you in rebounding in that basketball game. And like I said, just the lack of depth, you know, you really put your team in a bad spot in that game against Black Hills State. But you have to be pleased the way your team kind of fought back in that game to have that chance in the fourth quarter to get a victory on the road.
Yeah, I did. You know, not having that and getting in foul trouble, that definitely hurt us. And, you know, Monica ended up fouling out, she played really well this weekend for us. She fouled out with about 3 minutes to go. And so, you know, we're trying to put people in, and you know, girls are out of position and playing different spots. So it was one of those things where the girls fought. I thought we did a phenomenal job of them with their effort and everything like that. We just weren't able to execute right down at the end.
Well, this weekend it's rivalry weekend with Fort Lewis and Western Colorado coming in. Fort Lewis, this is not a typical Skyhawks basketball team. They have really struggled this year, just a couple of victories. Sydney Candelaria leads them at almost 20 points per game, but usually it's a really good competitive Skyhawks basketball team, always one of the upper tier teams in the RMAC, but that's not the case this season.
Well, they're better than the record, I think. You know, watching film, you know, their last four games came down to the last possession, and you know, they ended up being on the losing end, but they're right there. And you know, with Candelaria, she's a leading scorer in the RMAC, and she's going to be a tough guard for us. And she has been for everybody that's played her. So we can't overlook them. Like I said, they're playing a little bit better. They're just, you know, coming up short. But, again, that's a big game for them, and
coming and playing Mesa. I'm sure they'll be excited and ready to go. And so they've competed all year long. Their record just doesn't show that.
Taylor Wagner, coach of the Colorado Mesa women's basketball team. So it's Fort Lewis on Friday, and then it's Western Colorado, the Mountaineers, on Saturday. The Mountaineers are coming off the win over CSU Pueblo. They get the 65-58 victory. Samantha Coleman, who's always one of their outstanding players, 16 points per game. Katie Dalton, always a force inside. She had 14 points in that win. As Western's now 8-7, 6-4 in the RMAC. And look, you've had some, like with Fort Lewis, some big matchups, tough games, hard-fought wins, and tough losses against this Mountaineer squad as well, as they come in with an impressive victory over CSU Pueblo.
Yeah, they're always a tough team. You know, they're well-coached, they're physical, they play hard. Again, another big game, and everyone's trying to position probably for the RMAC tournament. And so these games coming down the stretch are going to be really big, and they always get up to play us. So they've got a couple new kids that are playing well for them, and their leading scorer is a transfer from Eastern Washington that's doing a really good job for them this year, and will be a tough matchup for us.
Taylor Wagner, coach of the CMU women's basketball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. Maverick women right now currently sit in fifth in the conference, 7-3, 12-3 overall. And you mentioned the RMAC tournament and jockeying for position right now. There's those bottom spots are still up for grabs, Taylor. Adams State, they're 6-6. Western comes in, who you play on Saturday, they're 6-4. Regis, they're 5-6. UCCS, 5-7. Shadron's at 5-7. So there's not a lot of distance between teams like yourself and Black Hills State, both at 7-3, between some of those teams that are right there on the cusp of getting into the RMAC tournament if it was starting today.
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to be tight. You know, one game, it's probably going to decide who hosts a first-round game and who's on the road. So, you know, these games, especially with Western being right there, right behind us, it's going to be a big game. And, you want to play at home. That's the big thing. And so we've got to take care of business and really get on a run going here. We've kind of come out of the break. You know, we're 2-3 out of the break. You know, we've had games canceled, injuries, COVID issues, so it really hasn't gone our way yet. So hopefully getting back home, we can kind of get off on the right foot and get some energy and some momentum heading going into February and March.
You hope to have Sophie Anderson back for this weekend?
Yep, we should have Sophie back and ready to go, and so should be good.
And for Sophie Haddad, who of course had the knee injury last year, and it was great to get her back on the floor this year. What can you tell us about her situation?
Well, you know, it didn't look good, and she sees the doctor tomorrow, so we'll kind of wait and let them see. You know, probably end up having to get an MRI to figure out what really is wrong. But, she went down, knew something was wrong right away, especially after having the injury last year. So hopefully it's better than what we think it is, and she can get back as soon as possible.
Yeah, hopefully it's a good prognosis tomorrow when she talks to the doctor. Hey, Taylor, I appreciate it. We'll have Maverick basketball this weekend, big rivalry weekend, Fort Lewis on Friday, and then Western Colorado on Saturday. Pregame both nights for the women, 5:15, the men at 7:30, and Maverick basketball brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance, both Friday and Saturday, right here on the Team CMU Sports Network. Taylor, thanks for fitting us in today. I appreciate it, and best of luck this weekend.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, Taylor Wagner, coach of the CMU women's basketball team. All right, that's our show for today. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll talk with Mark Johnson. He'll be joining us from Washington State. We'll have the Buffaloes in Washington tomorrow night after our coverage of high school basketball, full court coverage. So Mark Johnson on the schedule for tomorrow. Also, Mary Doan, the coach of the Central Girls basketball team. They have Eagle Valley tomorrow night, trying to extend that 10-game winning streak after the win against Montrose last night. She'll join us at 9:40 tomorrow, and we'll also play Who Is It? Jim Rome's up next. Have a great day.